CU Broadcast. Hey, we recently covered Co-op Financial Services' Future of Workplace Forum, and great content, great speakers, the whole nine yards. And in one session, they had all the speakers together on a panel, and those speakers consisted, or the panelists in this case, consisted of Rodney Nalcestuen. He's a senior analyst at ITA Group. Scott Belsky, Adobe Chief Product Officer. Crystal Long, GECU's President and CEO. And then Nick Calcanes, Co-op Financial Services COO. And it's all moderated by Jean Chatsky, founder of Her Money, and she's also the Today Show financial editor. And again, great content, great discussion in this session. And there was one particular topic that really caught my eye in this discussion, and we'll feature it here for you. It dealt around digital inequality with members. How are credit unions dealing with this and dealing with the human touch, and who has what electronics and who doesn't, and who can go digital and who can't? Just a really interesting topic that I really haven't even addressed before. So they all have some great responses to this question. So check it out.
One of the things that has emerged in the news lately as we've followed this country through the pandemic is that we've got this K-shaped recovery where some people are doing great and some people are truly struggling. And with that comes along digital inequality. How would you suggest that credit unions strategize to deal with increased digital inequality among the members? Scott, let me start with you, but Rodney, I'd love your take on this as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's striking. I mean, every company is going through a digital transformation now, and I think Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, you know, is on the record suggesting that it's been accelerated by, I think, a decade or something, something extreme that he said. And so this is, of course, impacting not everyone necessarily. It's those who are privileged enough to participate in it. You know, those who are privileged enough to work at a company that is a digital business or is being digital transformed. Those who are privileged enough to have the devices, the consumer devices, and the credit and the other things that they would need to be able to participate in these new technologies. And you know, everyone says, oh, it's easier to make a dollar than ever before because anyone can sign up for and offer their services online and whatever. I mean, no, it's not equally easy for everyone. And there's something we have to be very sensitive to there in terms of the access to this technology and what that means for the economy.
Rodney?
Yeah, so one of the issues has been the unbanked and the underbanked and the people that can't get services. I mean, there's still swaths of this country in the midsection where you lose cell phone connections and there's no internet connectivity, or there's 56K, the old dial-up capability, and that's all they have. So I think the investment has to be made to change that, and I think the country's going to start to do that. You see some of the providers of cell phones systems now and networks trying to do that. But in the meantime, I mentioned how we've seen a number of financial institutions, the example of four consumer lenders. Well, you're sending two into the office all the time, not the same two, and you're doing rotation to maintain the social distancing, but you're keeping that office presence. You're not abandoning it 100%. On the commercial side, we've seen more institutions willing to send their employees out to kind of a neutral location where they know they can be safe, they can be distanced, and meeting customers on commercial side of things. So there are ways to get to people physically who don't have all those opportunities. It's something that we have to be sensitive to, because if we're not, the opportunity to exacerbate the wealth gap in the country, that's truly there.
Well, and it's not just about the role of the office. What about the role of the branch, Crystal?
The role of the branch is very, very important. What we find is that it's really migrated to more of a problem resolution area than anything else, or an onboarding area for remote services, for using the website. And so we've seen that change dramatically as people have adopted the cell phone for deposits and other types of remote services. So as I mentioned earlier, we've been through sort of a decade of change here. And I feel like that decade of change using NCR and some of the equipment that we've used to reach a broader range of people here in the El Paso area is a segue to something new in the future. And I think it's going to be less important to have the branch, but I think it'll still be a critical piece of the delivery channels.
Nick, I see you're nodding along.
Yeah, I think, you know, that might be an example of, you know, I go back to the technology, the call it the foundational technology that we built. Rodney mentioned earlier that there's a likelihood that there's going to be a spike in collections, right? We're positioned to where we could bolt on, right, not with no work, but basically bolt on a collections business based on the technologies that we use. Where, you know, Crystal is talking, you know, we've looked at and have, you know, video tellers. We could accelerate and deepen our relationship from a contact center perspective with credit unions so that we have video tellers that are sitting in two sites in Des Moines, Iowa and Dallas and be able to serve members that way. I think there's a tremendous opportunity to really do the analysis and get to, you know, it's that whole thing, you know, skate to where the puck's going to be based on what members' needs are. And how credit unions can be there for them.
Is that enough of a human touch, Nick, do you think? And Scott, maybe you want to weigh in on this as well?
I'll go real quick because it's interesting because, I've worked in technology and I was there when we started online banking at the place I used to work. And I was one of the last ones to get direct deposit. So I now have transformed myself into that, but you know, I think many people are still reticent in the credit union industry that they do want to go into a branch, but I think this is one of those seminal moments to where things are happening that will break you away from that, like I was broken away from the things I was comfortable with.
You know, it's just interesting because there is another trend, obviously, that's been going on for years, which is the artificial intelligence, you know, impact on business. And my takeaway always there is that ultimately, if done right, AI should unleash humans to do more of what only humans can do. And so as we think about maybe people won't go into branches for X and Y, but they'll do more of Z. And maybe Z is a higher order task that is a little bit more about building trust and rapport and having an honest and candid conversation. And so it's exciting, actually, for us to unleash the potential of our people to be more people, you know, to do more uniquely human things. And I think we have to kind of lean into that.
And I think...
So I was going to add that on the bots, on the AI side, bots are getting better. When you can be talking to somebody on the phone and it takes you 2 minutes to figure out you're not talking to a human. Now, that's a little bit frustrating, and that's not a good customer service. But if the bot introduces itself and say, hey, I'm a recording, but I can help you do the following five things. If that's not what you're interested in, I'll get you to a human. You know, there's ways to humanize that kind of experience as well, and yet use the artificial intelligence to provide quality customer service at the transactional level without losing that humanity. That's what we see people working on now in the AI space. They're adding that human aspect to it rather than what they did before is they take data and they say, if these five things happen, say this, you know, and that's a kind of a rote approach with neural networks and with more deep learning going into artificial intelligence. It's getting better and better, and I think it can play a role going forward for a good space of what we do in financial services, but again, not replace humans.
Well, and I think
one thing, if I could add one thing to that around, you know, AI, and it's tied to the human element. One thing that we're really focused on is we have an ethical use policy and a council that really looks at our models and how we're using data. And I think finding the right balance there. Now, I earlier said the data is really important to learn the patterns. But I think it's also important as we migrate and use things like machine learning and AI that we apply those, that the ethics, right, and the humanity to it as well.
Without question. I also think that there is a lot of togetherness that we can feel from virtual communities. I've learned that in my experience building a community at Her Money, where people feel a real part of things.
Thank you very much for that information, and stay tuned for more coverage of Co-op Financial Services Future of Workplace Forum here on CU Broadcast.